We continue now with the preparation for death and the chapter on maxims of eternity or meditations for every day in the week. The meditation for Saturday, the eternity of the pains of hell. Consider that the torments of hell will never terminate. The damned suffer in every way, and they suffer eternally. 100 years of suffering will pass away, 1,000 will pass away, and hell will still be only in its beginning. 100,000 and 1,000,000,000 of years and ages will pass, and hell will still begin anew. Were an angel to be sent to one of the damned, informing him that after as many million of ages have expired as there are drops of water in the sea, leaves upon the trees, and grains of sand on the seashore or upon the earth, he should be delivered from hell, this news would fill him with inconceivable joy. For although he would be compelled to suffer for an innumerable multitude of ages, still he would be able to say, "The time will come when my sufferings will end." But alas, as many ages will really expire, and hell will be only at its beginning. Nay, this number of ages may be multiplied as many times as there are grains of sand on the earth, drops of water in the ocean, and leaves on the trees, and at the close of this immense period, hell will begin again. There is not a wretch in that abode of torments that would not willingly make this proposition to the Almighty: "Increase, O Lord, as much as thou pleasest, my torments. Prolong the duration of them to any extent thou pleasest, provided they may terminate." But no, this termination will never be granted. It would be an alleviation if the unfortunate sufferer could flatter himself with the hope that perhaps the Lord would one day have compassion on him and deliver him from hell. But alas, he will always keep the sentence of his eternal reprobation before his eyes, and will see that all these pains, this fire, this despair, these lamentations will never cease, will never end. O hell, O eternity, how can men believe in you and yet continue in sin? Christian soul, pay attention to these truths. Remember that hell is for you if you live in sin. This horrible furnace is already enkindled under your feet, and numbers throughout the world are falling into it whilst you are reading this. Reflect that if the same misfortune ever befalls you, it will be irreparable. If ever then you did deserve hell, thank God with all your heart for his mercy in having spared you. Weep over your sins. Employ every possible means of securing your salvation. Frequently approach the sacraments. Read daily some pious book. Entertain a sincere devotion to the Blessed Virgin. Recite every day the rosary, and fast every Saturday in her honor. Be firm and resolute in resisting the beginning of temptation, invoking frequently the holy names of Jesus and Mary. Flee from all occasions of sin. In short, use your utmost endeavors to avoid eternal misery, remembering that there cannot be too great security where eternity is at stake. Consider what numbers of men have hidden themselves in deserts and shut themselves up in caverns in order the more effectually to secure their eternal welfare. And what are you doing? Oh, give yourself sincerely to God and say to him from your heart, "Lord, behold, I am now thy servant, ready and willing to do whatever thou commandest me. Mary, assist me." We continue now with the preparation for death by St. Alphonsus de Liguori and the chapter on A Christian's Rule of Life. A footnote: the Rule of Life was published about the year 1767 in the volume entitled The Way of Salvation, of which it formed the third part with the treatise called Darts of Fire. In the general order of the works of St. Alphonsus, it naturally found its place under the title of the present volume, that contains the foundation of the spiritual life. It is the complement, the practical conclusion of the considerations on the eternal truths, as the author himself so very frequently intimates. In this rule, the first chapter treats of the means we must make use of to keep ourselves in the grace of God. In the second, the acts of those devout exercises which should be practiced are set forth at length. In the third is shown the exercise of the principal virtues which a Christian ought to practice. Chapter 1. The Means of Preserving the Grace of God. We must be fully persuaded that in order to obtain eternal salvation, it is not sufficient to wish to be saved, but we must further use the means which have been left us by Jesus Christ. Otherwise, if we commit sins, it will not avail us in the day of judgment to excuse ourselves by saying that the temptations were great and we were weak, because God has given us the means, through His grace, to conquer all the assaults of our enemies. If then we do not take advantage of them and are overcome, the fault will be our own. All men desire to be saved, but because they omit to employ the means of salvation, they sin and are lost. To flee from the occasions of sin, the first means is to avoid all occasions of sin. It is impossible for anyone who does not endeavor to flee from the occasions of sin, especially in the matter of sensual pleasures, to avoid falling into sin. St. Philip Neri said, "In the war of the senses, the conquerors are the cowards who fly." The occasion is like a veil put before our eyes, so that we can see nothing else, neither God, nor hell, nor the resolutions we had made. The Scripture says, "It is impossible to walk on burning coals without being burnt." Or, "Can he walk upon hot coals and his feet not be burnt?" So it is morally impossible for anyone to put himself voluntarily into the occasion of sin and not to fall, although he may have made 1,000 resolutions and 1,000 promises to God. This is clearly shown every day by the misery of so many poor souls who are plunged into vice for not avoiding the occasions. Anyone who has had the evil habit of sins of impurity must know that, in order to restrain himself, it is not enough merely to avoid those occasions which are absolutely proximate, for if he does not also flee from those which are not altogether proximate, he will easily fall again. Nor must we allow ourselves to be deceived by the devil into thinking that the person towards whom we are tempted is a saint. It often happens that the more devout a person is, the stronger is the temptation. St. Thomas Aquinas says that the holiest persons attract the most. The temptation will begin in a spiritual way and will terminate carnally. The great servant of God, F. Sertorio Caputo of the Society of Jesus, said that the devil first induces one to love a person's virtue, then the person, and then blinds one and brings one to ruin. We must also flee from evil companions. We are too weak. The devil is continually tempting us, and the senses are drawing us to evil. The slightest suggestion of a bad companion is only wanting to make us fall. Therefore, the first thing that we have to do to save ourselves is to avoid evil occasions and bad companions. And we must, in this matter, do violence to ourselves, resolutely overcoming all human respect. Those who do not use violence to themselves will not be saved. It is true that we must not put confidence in our own strength, but only in the divine assistance. But God wills that we should do our part in doing violence to ourselves when it is necessary to do so in order to gain paradise. The violent bear it away. Mental prayer. The second means is mental prayer. Without this, the soul will find it almost impossible to remain a long time in the grace of God. The Holy Spirit says, "In all thy works remember thy last end, and thou shalt never sin. He who often meditates on the four last things, namely death, judgment, and the eternity of hell and paradise, will not fall into sin. These truths are not to be seen with the natural eyes, but only with the eyes of the mind. If they are not meditated on, they vanish from the mind, and then the pleasures of the senses present themselves, and those who do not keep before themselves the eternal truths are easily taken up by them. And this is the reason why so many abandon themselves to vice and are damned. All Christians know and believe that all must die, and that we shall all be judged. But because they do not think about this, they live far from God. Without mental prayer, there is no light. We walk in the dark, and walking in the dark, we do not see the danger which we're in. We do not make use of the means we ought, nor pray to God to help us, and so we are lost. Without prayer, we have neither light nor strength to advance in the ways of God, because without prayer, we do not ask God to give us His grace, and without so praying, we shall certainly fall. It was for this reason that Cardinal Bellarmine declared it to be morally impossible for a Christian who does not meditate to persevere in the grace of God, whereas he who makes his meditation every day can scarcely fall into sin, and if unhappily he should fall on some occasion, by continuing his prayer he will return immediately to God. It was said by a servant of God that mental prayer and mortal sin cannot exist together. Resolve then to make every day, either in the morning or in the evening, but it is best in the morning, half an hour's meditation. In the following chapter you will see briefly explained an easy method for making this prayer. For the rest, it is sufficient that during that time you should recollect yourself by reading some book of meditation, either this one or one of the many others, and from time to time excite some good affection or some aspiration, as you will find pointed out in the following chapter. Above all, I beg you never to leave off this prayer, which you should practice at least once a day, although you may be in great aridity and should feel great weariness in performing it. If you do not discontinue it, you will certainly be saved. Together with prayer, it is of great use to make a spiritual reading, in private, out of some book which treats of the life of a saint or of the Christian virtues, during half or at least a quarter of an hour. How many, by reading a pious book, have changed their way of living and become saints? Like St. John Colombino, St. Ignatius Loyola, and so many others. It would also be a most useful thing if you were every year to make a retreat in some religious house, but at least do not omit your daily meditation. The frequentation of the sacraments. The third means is the frequenting of the sacraments of confession and of communion. By confession, the soul keeps itself purified, and by it not only obtains remission of sins, but also greater strength to resist temptations. For this purpose, you should choose a director and always confess to the same, consulting him on all more important matters, even temporal ones, and obey him in everything, especially if you are distressed by scruples. He who obeys his confessor need not fear to go astray. He that heareth you heareth me. The voice of the confessor is the voice of God. Holy Communion is called heavenly bread, because as common bread preserves the life of the body, so communion preserves the life of the soul. Except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man, you shall not have life in you. On the other hand, to those who often eat this bread, eternal life is promised. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. Therefore the Council of Trent calls Holy Communion the medicine which delivers us from venial sins and preserves us from mortal ones. You should then resolve to go to communion at least once a week, being determined not to give it up for anything in the world, as there is no affair of greater importance than that of your eternal salvation. Indeed, the longer you remain in the world, the greater need you have of assistance, because your temptations are greater. To make a good confession, as also a good communion, see the following chapter, where you will also find the acts which may be made before and after confession and communion by way of preparation and thanksgiving. To hear Mass. The fourth means is to hear Mass every day. When we attend Mass, we give more honor to God than all the angels and saints in heaven can give Him, because theirs is the honor of creatures. But in the Mass, we offer to God Jesus Christ, who gives Him an infinite honor. Listen or read the following chapter, where you will also find a way of hearing Mass with much profit. The visit to the Most Holy Sacrament and to the Blessed Virgin. The fifth means is to make a visit every day to the Most Holy Sacrament in some church and to the Divine Mother before some devout image. Jesus Christ dwells on the altars of so many churches in order to dispense graces to all who come to visit Him, and thus the souls of those who practice this beautiful devotion receive innumerable benefits from it. At the end of the next chapter, you'll find a prayer which may be said when visiting the Most Holy Sacrament and the Divine Mother. The graces you ought specially to ask for, both from Jesus and Mary, are the love of God and holy perseverance till death. Prayer. The sixth means, which I recommend you above all to put in practice, is holy prayer. It is certain that without the divine assistance we can do nothing good for our souls. God also has declared that graces are granted to those only who ask for them. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and it shall be given you. Therefore, as says St. Teresa, he who seeks not does not receive. Hence it is a common opinion of the Holy Fathers with St. Thomas that without prayer it is impossible to persevere in the grace of God and to save oneself. But he who prays is sure of the help of God. We have his word for it, which cannot fail, repeated so often in the sacred Gospels. All things whatsoever you ask when ye pray, believe that you shall receive, and they shall come to you. Every one that asketh receiveth. Amen, amen, I say unto you, if you ask the Father anything in my name, he will give it to you. God grants everything that we ask him for in the name of Jesus Christ. If then we wish to be saved, we must pray, and pray with humility and confidence, and above all, with perseverance. And this is the reason why mental prayer is so useful, because then we are reminded to pray. Otherwise we forget to do so, and so are lost. St. Teresa says that out of her desire of seeing everyone saved, she would have wished to go to the top of a mountain, and then to cry out, so as to be heard by all men, nothing but these words, "Pray, pray." The ancient fathers of the desert, in their conferences, decided that there was no better means of saving ourselves than by continually repeating the prayer of David, "Incline unto my aid, O God, O Lord, make haste to help me." So let us also try to say, or else let us make use of the beautiful ejaculations of the blessed Father Leonard of Porto Moris, "My Jesus, mercy." And the two principal graces which we must always ask for, as I've said before, are the love of God and holy perseverance. We must always ask the same graces from the Most Holy Mary, who is called the dispenser of all the divine graces. And when we pray to her, she will certainly obtain them for us from God. Therefore, Saint Bernard thus exhorts us, "Let us seek grace, and let us seek it through Mary, for what she seeks, she finds, and she cannot be disappointed." Chapter 2. In a Christian's Rule of Life. acts and practices of piety, acts and different prayers on rising in the morning and during the day. On rising, make the sign of the cross, and then say, My God, I adore Thee and love Thee with all my heart. I thank Thee for all Thy benefits, and especially for having preserved me this night. I offer Thee whatever I may do or suffer this day, in union with the actions and sufferings of Jesus and of Mary, with the intention of gaining all the indulgences I can gain. I resolve to avoid all sin this day, and especially such a one that I may fall into the oftenest, and I beg of Thee to give me perseverance for the love of Jesus Christ. I resolve to conform myself to Thy holy will, and particularly in those things that are contrary to my inclination, saying always, Lord, Thy will be done. My Jesus, keep Thy hand over me this day. Most Holy Mary, take me beneath Thy mantle. And do Thou, Eternal Father, help me for the love of Jesus and Mary. O my angel guardian and my patron saints, assist me. Then say an Our Father and a Hail Mary, and the Creed, with three Hail Marys, in honor of the purity of Mary. When you begin any work or study, say, Lord, I offer Thee this work. When you eat, my God, bless this food and me, that I may commit no fault about it, and may all be for Thy glory. After having eaten, I thank Thee, Lord, for having done good to one who was Thy enemy. When the clock strikes, say, My Jesus, I love Thee. Never permit me to offend Thee again, and let me never be separated from Thee. In adverse circumstances, say, Lord, since Thou hast so willed it, I will it also. In time of temptation, often repeat, Jesus and Mary. When you know or doubt of some fault or sin you've committed, say immediately, My God, I repent of having offended Thee. O infinite goodness, I will do so no more. And if it was a grievous sin, confess it at once. It would be a good thing for parents and masters and mistresses to make the children and those under them learn these acts by heart, that they may use them afterwards through life. A method of making mental prayer. Mental prayer consists of three parts: the preparation, the meditation, and the conclusion. The preparation consists of three acts: one of faith in the presence of God, of humility with the short act of contrition, and of prayer to be enlightened, saying as follows: for the first, My God, I believe that Thou art present with me, and I adore Thee with all the affection of my soul. For the second, say, O Lord, by my sins I deserve to be now in hell. I repent, O infinite goodness, with my whole heart of having offended Thee. For the third, say, My God, for the love of Jesus and Mary, give me light in this prayer, that I may profit by it. Then say a Hail Mary to the most Blessed Virgin, that she may obtain light for us, and a glory be to the Father, to Saint Joseph, to your guardian angel, and to your patron saint, for the same end. These acts should be made with attention, but briefly, and then you go on directly to the meditation. In the meditation, you can always make use of some book, at least in the beginning, and stop where you find yourself mostly touched. Saint Francis de Sales says that in this we should do as the bees, which settle on a flower as long as they find honey in it, and then pass on to another. It should also be observed that the fruits to be gained by meditation are three in number: to make affections, to pray, and to make resolutions, and in these consists the profit to be derived from mental prayer. After you've meditated on some eternal truth, and God has spoken to your heart, you must also speak to God, and first by forming affections, be they acts of faith, of thanksgiving, of humility, or of hope, but above all, repeat the acts of love and contrition. Saint Thomas says that every act of love merits for us the grace of God and paradise. Every act of love merits eternal life. Each act of contrition obtains the same thing. Acts of love are such as these. My God, I love thee above all things. I love thee with all my heart. I desire to do thy will in all things. I rejoice that thou art infinitely happy, and the like. For an act of contrition, it is enough to say, O infinite goodness, I repent of having offended thee. In the second place, you must pray. Ask God to enlighten you, to give you humility or other virtues, to grant you a good death and eternal salvation, but above all, his love and holy perseverance. And when the soul is in great aridity, it is sufficient to repeat, My God, help me. Lord, have mercy on me. My Jesus, have mercy. And if you do nothing but this, your prayer will succeed exceedingly well. In the third place, before finishing your prayer, you must form a particular resolution, as, for instance, to avoid some occasion of sin, to bear with an annoyance from some person, to correct some fault, and the like. And finally, in the conclusion, three acts are to be made. In the first, we must thank God for the inspirations we've received. In the second, we must make a determination to observe the resolutions we've made. In the third, we must ask God, for the love of Jesus and Mary, to help us to keep our resolution. The prayer concludes by the recommendation of the souls in purgatory, the prelates of the church, sinners, and all our relatives and friends, for which we may say an Our Father and a Hail Mary. St. Francis de Sales exhorts us to choose some thought which may have struck us more especially in our prayer, that we may remember it during the rest of the day. Benedict XIV granted 7 years' indulgence to those who make half or at least a quarter of an hour's mental prayer during the day, and a plenary indulgence if it's made every day for a month on the condition of confession and communion. Acts to be made by way of preparation and thanksgiving, both for confession and communion. Before confessing, the penitent should beg for light from God to enable him to know what sins he's committed and to obtain the grace of a true sorrow and purpose of amendment. He should also particularly recommend himself to Our Lady of Sorrows, that she may obtain contrition for him. Then he may make the following acts. An act before confession. O God of infinite majesty, behold at thy feet a traitor who has offended thee over and over again, but who now humbly seeks forgiveness. O Lord, reject me not. Thou dost not despise a heart that humbles itself. A contrite and humbled heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. I thank thee that thou hast waited for me till now, and hast not let me die in sin, casting me into hell as I deserved. Since thou hast waited for me, O God, I hope that by the merits of Jesus Christ thou wilt pardon me in this confession for all the offenses I have committed against thee. I repent and am sorry for them, because by them I have merited hell and lost paradise. But above all, it is not so much on account of hell which I have merited, but because I have offended thee, O infinite goodness, that I am sorry from the bottom of my heart. I love thee, O sovereign good, and because I love thee, I repent of all the insults I have offered thee. I have turned my back upon thee, I have not respected thee, I have despised thy grace and thy friendship. O Lord, I have lost thee by my own free will. Forgive me all my sins for the love of Jesus Christ, now that I repent with all my heart. I hate, detest, and abominate them above every evil. And I repent not only of mortal sins, but also of venial sins, because these are also displeasing to thee. I resolve for the future, by thy grace, never more willfully to offend thee. Yes, my God, I will rather die than ever sin again. And if a person confesses a sin into which he has often relapsed, it is a good thing to resolve particularly not to fall into it again, by promising to avoid the occasion of it, and to take the means pointed out by the confessor, or such as he may himself judge to be most efficacious for correcting himself of it. An act after confession. My dear Jesus, how much do I not owe thee? By the merits of thy blood, I hope that I have this day been pardoned. I thank thee above all things. I hope to reach heaven, where I shall praise thy mercies forever. My God, if I have hitherto lost thee so often, I now desire to lose thee no more. From this day forward, I will change my life in earnest. Thou dost merit all my love. I will love thee truly. I will no longer see myself separated from thee. I have promised thee this already. Now I repeat my promise of being ready to die rather than offend thee again. I promise also to avoid all occasions of sin, and to use such means as will prevent me from falling again. My Jesus, thou knowest my weakness. Give me grace to be faithful to thee till death, and to have recourse to thee when I am tempted. Most Holy Mary, help me. Thou art the mother of perseverance. I place my hope in thee. Preparation for communion. There is no means more efficacious in freeing us from our sins and enabling us to advance in the love of God than Holy Communion. Why is it, then, that some souls find themselves always in the same tepidity and committing the same faults, notwithstanding the many communions they make? This happens through the want of a proper disposition and preparation. Two things are required for this preparation. The first is to disengage our heart from all affections which are an impediment to the divine love. The second is to have a great desire to love God. And this, says St. Francis de Sales, should be our chief intention when we communicate, namely, to increase in divine love. Out of love alone, says the saint, ought our God to be received, who out of love alone gives himself to us. For this end, let us make the following acts. Acts before communion. My beloved Jesus, true Son of God, who didst die for me on the cross, in a sea of sorrow and ignominy, I firmly believe that thou art present in the most holy sacrament, and for this faith I am ready to give my life. My dear Redeemer, I hope by thy goodness and through the merits of thy blood that when thou dost come to me this morning, thou wilt inflame me with thy holy love and wilt give me all those graces which I need to keep me obedient and faithful to thee till death. Ah, my God, true and only lover of my soul, what couldst thou do more to oblige me to love thee? Thou wert not satisfied, my love, with dying for me, but thou wouldst also institute the most holy sacrament, making thyself my food and giving thyself all to me, thus uniting thyself most closely to such a miserable and ungrateful creature. Thou dost thyself invite me to receive thee, and dost greatly desire that I should receive thee. O infinite love, a God gives himself all to me. O my God, O infinite love, worthy of infinite love, I love thee above all things. I love thee with all my heart. I love thee more than myself, more than my life. I love thee because thou art worthy of being loved, and I love thee also to please thee, since thou dost desire my love. Depart from my soul all ye earthly affections. To thee alone, my Jesus, my treasure, my all, will I give all my love. This morning thou dost give thyself all to me, and I give myself all to thee. Permit me to love thee, for I desire none but thee, and nothing but what is pleasing to thee. I love thee, O my Savior, and I unite my poor love to the love of all the angels and saints, and of thy Mother Mary, and the love of thy Eternal Father. Oh, that I could see thee loved by all! Oh, that I could make thee loved by all men, and loved as much as thou dost deserve! Behold, O my Jesus, I am now about to draw near to feed on thy most sacred flesh. Ah, my God, who am I, and who art thou? Thou art a Lord of infinite goodness, and I am a loathsome worm, defiled by so many sins, and who have driven thee out of my soul so often. Domine non sum dignus. Lord, I am not worthy to remain in thy presence. I ought to be in hell forever, far away, and abandoned by thee. But out of thy goodness thou callest me to receive thee. Behold, I come humbled and in confusion for the great displeasure I have given thee, but trusting entirely to thy mercy and to the love thou hast for me. I am exceedingly sorry, O my loving Redeemer, for having so often offended thee in time past. Thou didst even give thy life for me, and I have so often despised thy grace and thy love, and have exchanged thee for nothing. I repent, and I am sorry with all my heart for every offense which I have offered thee, whether grievous or light, because it was an offense against thee, who art infinite goodness. I hope thou hast already pardoned me, but if thou hast not yet forgiven me, pardon me, my Jesus, before I receive thee. Ah, receive me quickly into thy grace, since it is thy will soon to come and dwell within me. Come then, my Jesus, come into my soul that sighs after thee. My only and infinite good, my life, my love, my all, I would desire to receive thee this morning with the same love with which those souls who love thee most have received thee, and with the same fervor with which thy most holy mother received thee. To her communions I wish to unite this one of mine. O Blessed Virgin, and my Mother Mary, give me thy Son. I intend to receive him from thy hands. Tell him that I am thy servant, and thus will he press me more lovingly to his heart, now that he is coming to me. Acts after Communion. The time after communion is a precious time for gaining treasures of grace, because the acts and prayers made whilst the soul is thus united with Jesus Christ have more merit and are of more value than when they are made at any other time. Saint Teresa says that our Lord then dwells in the soul enthroned as on a mercy seat, and speaks to it in these words, "My child, ask of me what you will. For this end am I come to you to do you good." Oh, what great favors do those receive who converse with Jesus Christ after communion. The venerable F. Avila never omitted to remain 2 hours in prayer after communion, and Saint Aloysius Gonzaga continued his thanksgiving for 3 days. Let the communicant then make the following acts, and try during the rest of the day to go on making acts of love and prayer in order to keep himself united with Jesus Christ, whom he has received in the morning. Behold, my Jesus, thou art come. Thou art now within me and hast made thyself all mine. Be thou welcome, my beloved Redeemer. I adore thee and cast myself at thy feet. I embrace thee, I press thee to my heart, and thank thee for that thou hast deigned to enter into my breast. O Mary, O my patron saints, O my guardian angel, do you all thank him for me. Since then, O my divine King, thou art come to visit me with so much love, I give thee my will, my liberty, and my whole self. Thou hast given thyself all to me, I will give myself all to thee. I will no longer belong to myself. From this day forward, I will be thine, and altogether thine. I desire that my soul, my body, my faculties, my senses, should be all thine, that they may be employed in serving and pleasing thee. To thee I consecrate all my thoughts, my desires, my affections, and all my life. I have offended thee enough, my Jesus. I desire to spend the remainder of my life in loving thee, who hast loved me so much. Accept, O God of my soul, the sacrifice which I, a miserable sinner, make to thee, and who desires only to love and please thee. Work thou in me, and dispose of me, and of all things belonging to me, as thou pleasest. May thy love destroy in me all those affections which are displeasing to thee, that I may be all thine and may live only to please thee. I ask thee not for goods of this world, for pleasures, for honors. Give me, I pray thee, by the merits of thy passion, O my Jesus, a constant sorrow for my sins. Enlighten me and make me know the vanity of worldly goods and how much thou dost deserve to be loved. Separate me from all attachment to the world, and bind me entirely to thy love, that from henceforth my will may neither seek nor desire anything but what thou willest. Give me patience and resignation in infirmities, in poverty, and in all those things which are contrary to my self-love. Make me gentle towards those who despise me. Give me a holy death. Give me thy holy love. And above all, I pray thee to give me perseverance in thy grace till death. Never permit me to separate myself from thee again. And I also ask of thee the grace always to have recourse to thee and to invoke thy aid, O my Jesus, in all my temptations, and the grace to ask thee always for holy perseverance. We will continue with A Christian's Rule of Life and Acts and Practices of Piety on tape number 11. Please join us.